I'm Haley B. Miller, and this is Ohio Politics Explained, a podcast where you give us 15 minutes and we give you all the news you need to sound smart and impress your friends. Welcome to Ohio Politics Explained, the ballot drama edition. This week, we're discussing the latest in the Biden ballot debacle, a key ruling in the lawsuit over Ohio's ban on gender-affirming care for minors, how Governor Mike DeWine wants to solve the child care crisis, and why marijuana sales could start sooner than expected. I'm joined today by our bureau chief, Anthony Shoemaker.
Hi, Haley. How are you?
Hello. Good. Good to be back. Before we get going, a quick programming note. OPE is taking next week off, but we'll be back with what will probably be an action-packed episode to kick off May. Our first topic today is the lawsuit over House Bill 68, which bans gender-affirming care for minors and keeps transgender girls out of female school sports. This week, a Franklin County judge temporarily blocked the law from going into effect on April 24th. The ACLU, which brought the lawsuit, convinced the judge it could harm the plaintiffs, who are two transgender girls, and may violate Ohio's single subject rule for legislation. But again, this is temporary and probably just the first step in a lengthy lawsuit.
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of the latest step in legislation that's been targeted at trans Ohioans. You know, they talk about the combining two issues. This also had the sports would ban transgender girls and women from playing in college and K through 12 sports. And that's, you know, seems to be where the violation comes from by combining it with the healthcare side of things.
Yeah, the Ohio Constitution, as I think we've talked about on here before, requires legislation to be one topic. Now, Ohio lawmakers don't always follow that rule. They like to combine all sorts of different things into their bills. But Judge Michael Holbrook said that this might be a pretty open and shut case of a single subject violation, because at one point these were literally two different bills.
Yeah. And, you know, that ruling came just the day after the panel cleared the gender reassignment surgery for minors that Governor DeWine wanted. You know, even though, you know, this, you know, hospitals in Ohio aren't performing this procedure on people under 18, but it's kind of become a talking point in Ohio and across the country. So that's another thing that happened this week on this issue.
Yeah, that's part of the separate administrative process that's been playing out. After DeWine vetoed House Bill 68, he proposed this package of rules that I think he saw as kind of a compromise to appease legislators, but, you know, roll back some of what was in 68. So that rule banning gender reassignment surgery for kids is supposed to go into effect, I believe, May 2nd or 3rd. I haven't really gotten a clear answer as to what the lawsuit could mean for that, if there's any kind of legal problems there, but I guess we will find out. Now, let's catch you up on President Joe Biden's status for the November ballot. A quick refresher, Secretary of State Frank LaRose told Democrats that Biden may not make the ballot because the DNC is after Ohio's election deadline. Dems turned around and said they would certify Biden provisionally before the August 7th deadline, but the AG's office said this week that that plan is not allowed under state law. So now what?
It's a bit of a mess here. You know, it sounds like Democrats are either going to have to, you know, try to get the legislature to do something, which they don't sound in a hurry to do, or sue over this. It's hard to imagine a state not having a sitting president on the ballot, but, you know, they're running out of time to do something. I think if the legislature was going to act, they would have to do something by early May, right, to meet the deadline.
I think so, unless they wanted to pass something with an emergency clause. And last week, Senate President Matt Huffman was saying that this is a Democratic problem and it needs a Democratic solution. He recently spoke to reporters this week and, according to Cleveland.com, said that, you know, this is going to get solved. It's not going to be a problem. What that solution looks like still remains to be seen. If I can put my lawyer hat on for a minute, I am not a lawyer, but, you know, we saw the U.S. Supreme Court reject attempts to take former President Trump off the ballot in other states because of the insurrection clause. Now, this is a different circumstance, but that kind of makes me wonder if courts in general are unwilling to take a candidate off the ballot and have kind of these like piecemeal rules in place for states.
Yeah, I think you're right there. I mean, I think the other, you know, this isn't the only, Ohio's not the only state dealing with this. Washington has a similar problem, but they have a Democratic, you know, Secretary of State that's dealing with it. But I think it's interesting, like in Alabama, Democrats and Republicans are working together to find a solution. But that isn't happening here.
Last I talked to some of the Democratic leaders in the state house, they said they were deferring to the Biden campaign and the DNC. I think certainly the easiest solution would be a legislative solution. So we'll see if that happens or if they're going to have to sue. So our third topic for today is childcare in Ohio and how DeWine wants to fix this massive, massive problem. During his State of the State, DeWine said Ohio will use federal funds to upgrade childcare facilities. He also wants to create a new voucher program for families that make up to 200% of the federal poverty level, which is about $60,000 for a family of four. A report from Policy Matters Ohio found the average cost of childcare at a center for a family with one infant is over $11,000, which is crazy. Experts say DeWine's proposals are good, but far from enough to fix the system.
Yeah, I mean, and these costs have just skyrocketed. You know, in the story Aaron did this week, it also talked about how like a family would have to make almost over $250,000 a year if they had an infant and a toddler for it to be considered affordable. You know, so you have families that are making decisions like, you know, maybe one of the parents stops working because the cost of childcare is, you know, it's almost like a tuition check.
Right. And, you know, as far as DeWine's proposals go, I think there's still a lot that we don't know. We don't know how much these vouchers would cost and still not really sure how the legislature is feeling about this. Huffman was talking to reporters after the State of the State and said that he was encouraged by DeWine's comments, but also said that the state needs to increase capacity because there just aren't enough childcare centers. And, you know, Democrats say, too, is the 200% of the poverty level enough, or should that amount be higher?
Right. And the other challenge that you have is there are fewer childcare workers in the state. We've seen a significant decrease in the last 5 years in the number of people doing the job because of the low pay.
Yeah, this is just such a complicated issue and a problem in Ohio and other states. And we could probably devote an entire episode to it. And maybe we should.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, and like the story also said, you know, this is not just something that's impacting poor families. This is impacting middle class families as well. I mean, with these numbers and the costs continuing to rise.
And our final topic for today is marijuana. And I have some potentially good news for our listeners who partake just in time for 420. Operators and at least one lawmaker think recreational sales will start sometime this summer, possibly as early as June. That's ahead of the timeline they initially predicted. Per state law, license applications will go out by June and the state house to award those licenses by September. Sales could happen faster for dispensaries that are already licensed for medical. The thinking is these stores already had to clear a bunch of state rules so they could get online quickly once their application is approved. This depends on a lot of different factors, though.
Yeah, and I mean, there's over 100 medical dispensaries in the state. You know, they say they can handle the demand for recreational. It'll be interesting to see, you know, how fast this is going to work and what all the details are going to be for these stores to open. The medical stores have already had to meet all the state requirements, you know, and Governor DeWine had talked about and the Senate had wanted to actually get the medical stores open earlier, but the House never took any action on it.
Right. And I think the Division of Cannabis Control is a little less willing to publicly commit to any timelines because I think different dispensaries are going to be ready at different times. It might be kind of a gradual rollout, you know, seeing sales kind of gradually come up across the state. And it's going to be a completely different situation for brand new stores under the program who have not been licensed for medical, have not had to make sure their buildings are a certain distance from schools and have certain security requirements in place. So the medical operators definitely have a leg up here.
Yeah. And, you know, the original timeline we were looking at was September, I think. Right. So, you know, having this possibly launch 3 months earlier is a significant change.
And one more thing before you go. Our colleagues Jesse and Laura have been covering the House Bill 6 scandal for years. Their latest story looks at Sam Randazzo's death and how Ohio's top utility regulator found himself at the center of a bribery scheme. It's a lot to get into here, so we're not going to, but it's well worth a read if you have not already checked it out. Ohio Politics Explained is brought to you by the USA Today Network Ohio Bureau. You can check us out on X, formerly known as Twitter, at Ohio Explained.